Live long and prosper, everyone. Welcome to the Verbal Match, episode 315. I'm Josh Moore.
I'm Olivia Plies.
And we're back, because we were gone last week. Or were we? I don't know. I don't remember. It's so hard to keep up with the show sometimes.
But we're back.
And that's all that's really important. And Gotham's over, but we're back.
And The Flash is over, too. But we're going to talk about that the last couple of episodes that we watched. That'll cap off its season run.
Yeah, and if we really didn't have anything else to do with our lives, we could have watched iZombie, but who gives a shit?
Not us.
Show's just not good. Ugh. All right, so for those of you who want to know, you can go to our website, theverbalmosh.com. Check out our written reviews and so forth. You can also find us on social networking sites, Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/theverbalmosh. At theverbalmosh is our handle on Twitter. You can also leave us an email at theverbalmosh@gmail.com. You can also check out our sponsors, the Comics Podcast Network, to which we are proud members of, www.comicspodcast.com. And you should also leave us an iTunes review as well, and that helps people find the show who may be interested. I don't know. But if you're listening, then you're clearly interested, so shazam.
So now you're rambling. All right, let's get to the news first. That's our first segment we always do.
Oh, the comics news this week. Well, for this week and last week, everyone's gearing up for San Diego as it's right around the horizon.
Oh, I totally thought you were going to say Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, which is just around the horizon. But one thing I want to talk about was the CBS Supergirl pilot. It's not due to hit the airwaves until later on this year, but it did leak to the internet.
I heard about it. I mean, they were talking about it in the comments section of The Flash.
Anything positive? Because I don't want to spoil it for myself, so I just decided to just recuse myself and not watch the leaked trailer and just wait for, you know, the leaked first episode.
Well, people were just talking about their anticipation for it, you know, and also talking about the other new DC shows that look to be on the horizon, too.
I think they're doing one, Heroes of Tomorrow, with Ant-Man and so forth.
Yeah.
But no little Bruce, no little Batman in the world of Gotham. Not yet, anyway.
Unless they make a show called Lil Gotham.
Wasn't there there's a comic strip like that, yeah. I think, at one point. Yeah, yeah. Clearly not as successful or as cute as Tiny Titans, but hey, you can't have everything. Oh, wait, you like Superman Family Adventures a little bit better.
No. Wait.
Over Tiny Titans?
No, I like Tiny Titans better than Superman Family Adventures. Remember how awful I thought it was, that long, drawn-out story with Lex Luthor? Oh, my God, and robots.
Oh, no, that was the best, because he would laugh, like that weird laugh, ha-ha-ha-ha-hee-hee-hee-ho-ho. Like, I can't even do it now, but I like that a lot.
Yeah, I didn't.
I like the fact that he was bald and laughing.
Yeah. I like Tiny Titans because it had short, cute jokes, short stories, you know, and it was really topical, I felt like.
The only one I ever walked away from that stuck with me was Cyborg's reboot. Ugh, when they just got him a new boot.
Oh, I thought you loved the issue, though, when they couldn't cross the sidewalk. You loved that, no?
I don't remember that. I loved it. All I remember was, you know what? I was sitting down thinking about comics yesterday.
Also, there was also The Blackest Night, when the lights got shut off in the classroom. Darkest Night? What was it? Blackest Night.
You're also thinking of Lunch Lady Darkseid. Oh, you interrupted me. I was going to say that I was sitting down. I was thinking about comics. Like, there have sure been some good comics over the years. But, woo! Not Trillium. Boy, did that suck.
Oh, well.
No, there's no... No, we can go ahead and say that.
Sort of all right.
No, it wasn't. I'm like, oh, right now, because you can just say, like, you know, because you don't have to read it.
At it,
like,
with nostalgia.
Oh, it was all right. But I remember, like, when you'd open the package, you'd be like, oh, fuck, this thing again? Oh. Maybe
no,
if I just...
No.
Maybe
I think just that, those were my, like, first comments about Sweet Tooth. That I was like, oh, my God, this story is, like, taking forever to start.
That's the best. Sweet Tooth was awesome. You liked Sweet Tooth. Because Jeopardy.
Putting words in my mouth.
Yeah, you did. You were like, you know what?
Telling me what I don't like and what I like.
I was like, hey, don't you like Sweet Tooth? And you're like, I enjoy it. And then like we were like, hooray.
We both threw our arms into the air. Hooray.
Yeah, like we had felt. Like we were made of felt. All right. Wait, what were we talking about again? Oh, how bad Trillium was. Woo! Woo!
And how good Tiny Titans was. Hooray!
But mainly how bad Trillium was. Woo! But Jeff Lemire redeems himself. Oh, wait, no, we can't.
We're not even going to... You're,
no,
like,
wait,
jumping
wait,
the
we
gun.
We can't even say anything about that, because remember, he did give us those first couple
Superboy,
of...
Superboy.
Animal Man.
Animal Man.
I forgot about Superboy. What was a Superboy like? I forgot.
Weren't they, like, fighting hillbillies? Like, wasn't there a guy in a tractor?
Oh, fuck, yes! Yeah, Superboy. It was before they fucked us all over with a new 52, and he was like, me and my dog are on the farm. Me and my dog live with my Kent. Me and my dog.
Because, like, they went underground at one point, too. There was that crazed farmer who was like, remember?
Get away from my sexy daughter. Yeah, oh, man, that was the best. That was Adventure Comics, yeah. Back before Francis Manapul was fucking shit up trying to write stories. Fuck it. I've just noticed this. Francis Manapul just throws on some New Balances, draws some good-looking Batman sketches, and says, it's good enough, buy it. For a while, we did. I was drinking the Manapul Kool-Aid. Even though you thought he was a white guy, he showed up at the Toronto Comic Con.
And he was like, yeah! It's always surprising seeing the creators' images when they pop up in their profiles. Like, because it's always, a lot of times, different than what I imagined.
That's a good thing about how comics used to be. It'd be like, oh, look, Chris Claremont. You wouldn't think he'd be some big, fat British guy. Like, you know, drinking tea while writing X-Men. And the Nightcrawler said, BAMF!
I'm pretty sure he doesn't sound like that.
Maybe not. Yeah, you know what? When they started putting Harry Potter on TV, like, and everyone was like, imitating that voice, I just thought... You know, I was watching Veep, and it made me think of you, because they were talking about Harry Potter. Like, the vice president was in England, and she was talking about... She had made a reference about Harry Potter coming to a bar, and I think the prime minister was like, oh, but he's so young, he shouldn't be allowed to drink beer. And she's like, yeah, he's a fictional character. I'm talking about the actor who plays him. I'm pretty sure he could afford to buy beer now. He's old enough. Pretty sure. And he was just like, no, he's magical. He's a magical warlock. And she's like, no, he's a wizard. So
first he believes that this person is real, and then he's like, no, this person is make-believe, a warlock.
He was just being like a complete and total dick to Julia Louis-Dreyfus' character, Selena. He was just like, oh, he's a very powerful warlock. And she's like, no, he's a wizard. I just picture you, like, I had said something like that. You'd admonish me for the same thing. Like, he's a wizard! That's you hitting me with your wooden spoon of wizardry. So, okay, yeah, back to what we were really talking about. And then Nightcrawler said, BIMF!
So there's nothing in the comics news?
Other than Supergirl, that first episode leaking to the public. And they don't know if it was actually hacked and released, or if CBS, in building anticipation and to gauge fan interest, put it out there to be, absorbed by the masses. Because I think CBS may have leaked it, because they're just like, we want the nerds to tell us what they think, if we got a winner on our hands. Because clearly they're trying to jump into this whole superhero television nonsense. Because they're saying, I don't know, you make money on television or broadcast television by selling advertisement, and they see the numbers that shows like The Flash and Gotham put up, so they want a little piece of that too. Interestingly enough, Fox,
that's what our country's based on, capitalism.
But one of the reasons why they do that to make money is because, you know, how we have cable and pay TV. One of the reasons broadcast television doesn't charge anything is because they have a license from the FCC saying so long as they don't charge for content, they don't have to pay taxes on it. They struck a deal. So they used to be radio stations, and then they moved into that game. Just a little interest to something that I found out. So, you know, they figured they could pad their coffers.
Okay, so we'll move
and they
on.
They definitely need something after How I Met Your Mother ended. What are they going to replace me? Rules of Engagement?
Oh, that show wasn't that bad. Remember we watched it for a short while?
Yeah, and it was like poor man's How I Met Your Mother. They're like, look, we don't have Neil Patrick Harris. We got fucking David Spade. Isn't he kind of handsome? And I don't get, like, Neil Patrick Harris is actually a handsome person. You can see how women, or even men in this instance, would be attracted to him. But at no point in time has anyone, or any woman, or man, would have like, oh man, that David Spade is so handsome. No.
Oh, you never know. People have all sorts of tastes and stuff.
Yes, but the collective American will, and even people, even the freaky Germans who thought David Hasselhoff was a great pop star, even they were like, ugh.
Is it because he's short? Is that why?
Yeah, he's short. He's, no, it's not also because he's short, but also mainly because he's unattractive. Oh, he is. Oh, yeah. I said it. There.
All right, we're going to move on to our next section, which is DC TV, or The Flash TV, because that's all we're talking about. The Flash.
The Funk. Crikey, Master Bruce, there's more than one room in this whole house. It's DC TV. These were two great episodes of The Flash, and I'll let you start talking about them, because
The first episode I watch was Rogue Air.
Oh yeah, when the Flash and his Guantanamo Bay for supervillains gets compromised because Dr. Harrison Wells is trying to get his time dilation generator up to snuff. They're like, well, we can't leave these supervillains here.
Because they might die, so we gotta go protect them and send them to another illegal prison.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, they're like, what? And they bring up your most hated thing in comics, Green Arrow's The Island. So they're like, yeah, we're gonna just transport them to the island, but the Flash is like...
No, it's not my most hated thing, but it's just funny how, like, a lot of characters and their universes have this, like, mysterious island that they can, like, disappear on or... train on, or who knows what, build secret prisons on, and
yeah, it's Gitmo. So more so to the fact, the Flash enlists Captain Cold and his sister to give them a hand. Even though I was like, "Where's Heatwave?"
She finally gets a name too, the Golden Glider.
I said that earlier on, but then I was like, "Oh, they haven't named it yet," because that's Cisco's primary task, other than fixing things and attempting to build a time machine
and making jokes. Yes, yes.
Yeah, he primarily names the bad guys in this one, so he gives the name the Golden Glider.
So that's pretty much it. Like, they're working to get the bad guys out and safe, but everything goes awry because Barry sets a deal with Captain Cold, and he completely undermines the deal. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, what, you didn't expect me to be the bad guy that I am? I'm the bad guy.
I like that. Yeah, he was like, yeah, I am what I am. And then he's like, well, why don't you just kill me? He's like, oh, I guess you owe me two now. Well, me and my parka, even though it's 70 degrees outside, I've got to go. And then he got in his Coldmobile and drove off.
He rode away on a motorcycle. What do you mean the Coldmobile?
No, the whole time I was watching this, I was like, wow, Captain Cold is such a great villain. Cold snap, cold snap, cold snap. Oh, it rhymes. It's cool that he didn't tell, he kind of is a man of his word, because he was like, I know you're Barry Allen, but I didn't tell no one, not even my sister.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What else happened? That's pretty much all that happened in that episode, right?
No, because at the end, Reverse Flash shows up, and he's like, I'm going to kick your ass, Barry. And Barry's like, I got friends. These two dudes who are brothers in real life. Green Arrow and Firestorm. I'm about to say Fireman. Firestorm. Flame on. Whatever.
Flame on.
You said that first, and I thought that was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
And they fight. And somehow Green Arrow, a dude with no powers, is like, yep, I use my special arrow to make you special slow.
I know, he was the one that really came dyslexic. In and saved the day.
He made the Reverse Flash dyslexic, and then they were able to lock him up in their evil Guantanamo Bay. Their good Guantanamo Bay, I guess.
Yeah. So the next episode, I forget what it was called, but the next episode after that...
Fast Enough
is basically...
Not to be confused with Furious 7, folks. Just like,
is about how they've got Eobard Thawne locked up and figuring out his evil plans, the fact that, you know, he sets up the idea into Barry's head that... Oh, he can just travel back in time and save his own mother, and then
that's how casually it's done. Just like, hey man, what are you doing later on? Nah, I'm not doing anything. Wanna go back in time and save your mother? Oh, okay.
I mean, this is real messed up too. It's like exactly played out like in comic books, how like constantly characters are like brought back to life and stuff like that, and how universes get changed in an instant because of all these strange event books and stuff like that. And yet again, here we have another chance where a character is just like, well, I could just start over, just go back in time, fix everything right up.
Because the writer will come in and be like,
don't have to deal with consequences.
Because the new editor will come in with his etch-a-sketch and just shake it all up and be like, nothing happened before.
But the really interesting thing is that Barry doesn't save his mother because his future self...
Him, not you.
Barry's future self.
Yeah.
He, you know, the one who originally came and stopped Eobard Thawne from killing his younger self when he was there with his parents. He was like, put up his hand. He was like, stop in the name of love.
Oh, I thought he was going to say, don't do it, bro. Yeah. Don't tase me.
Yeah. And so Barry kind of took a back seat and just kind
she
of
died anyway.
Let his mother die. Yeah. But he was luckily given this chance that... Since he was there, he was able to say a final goodbye to his mother and be like, hey, I turned out to be an okay guy. And she was like, my boy. And he was like, mama.
And then he put his mask back on because that's all he does is take his mask off in this show.
And then Barry's got to get back because he only has like less than 2 minutes to, you know, alter things in the past before he has to get back. And the wormhole that he created before it turns into this giant black hole that'll destroy the entire Earth. And he gets it back, and at the same time, Eobard Thawne was supposed to escape into his future, and as soon as Barry comes crashing back,
Oh, he breaks the time machine. He breaks the time
machine. And he ruins everything so that he can't go back into the future.
And then Eddie ends up shooting himself, which kills him. And then
because he realizes that, you know, this is the best thing that he could do to actually stop the Reverse Flash. Is if he kills himself, then there's no lineage to carry on.
And then the Reverse Flash is like, no, this is a piece of
his face completely reverts back to his original look, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, and then he was like, boom, gone. But then, a la the Avengers, that wormhole is still opening, and then the Flash ends up running into it. And that's where season one ends. Mm-hmm. Which, that was a big cliffhanger.
It was. A lot of interesting things. You also saw the other Flash helmet come flying through the wormhole, too.
Oh, the Golden Age Flash. Yeah, that was pretty cool. That's when Eobard was like, that's my cue to leave. Don't want the Justice Society showing up. Yuck, 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 yuck. This has been the most strongest DC property on television in so long. Mm-hmm. Because Birds of Prey sucked. Mm-hmm. Gotham, while good, is unintentionally the funniest thing we watch on Mondays. Mm-hmm. I say unintentional. The Flash is probably the best overall DC property on television because it stays true to what's core about that character, but at the same time, it updates it to where it's not alienating.
Oh, it totally updated for like hitting that minority section too demographic with Black Dad, which I thought was great. Hilarious though, because like, you know, he has moments where he like really acts kind of ghetto-ish, and then he has real moments where he's like, I'm the dad here and I'm composed, and which I think is pretty funny.
Yeah, and this is how he's like, motherfucker,
Barry. Radio Shack.
Radio Shack. I was waiting for him to say to Captain Cold, like, oh no, you Zen. And I was like, yes. But yeah, the guy, whoever plays Black Dad, is phenomenal. And like you said, it hits all those different demographics. I'm totally fine with that because you can't just have Captain Cracker save the day. You need to have a little bit of diversity so that other people can see themselves in these characters. Maybe not the Flash, but some of the other characters, and say, hey, that's cool. I can relate to that on some sort of level. Oh, and Cisco's going to become the vibe. Because he's just like, you got powers? Because remember, Eobard was like, you got powers too now? And he's like, you're lying. He's like, yeah, you think your silky smooth hairs is there just because you want it to be? No. Because you got powers. Or something.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Caitlin gets married too at the end.
I mean, fuck, finally. You're wondering. He's like, I have to go. My home planet needs me, Caitlin.
Bye, Ronnie. No.
Oh, it would have been better. You know what would have been really awkward? Ronnie would have been like, I met someone else. He's a good man. And she'd been like, what? The particle reactor made you... Stein. Yeah, the particle reactor made you gay. It's a choice. And then he just floats away. Blame on.
Why would he float away?
I don't know.
That provides like really weird imagery. Him flaming on and floating. Not flying, floating. Like a bubble or something.
Hey, it could happen, I think. Alright. So, I really want
to
know what...
It'll be interesting to see how if anything happens with Barry and Iris's relationship.
Because she's like, oh, the man I loved is dead. Why? No, you know what? Iris will be like, Barry?
She would be awful if she went running into Barry's arms. He needs another new love interest.
No, he should just be like... No, because she's going to be like, well, I got nobody else. You won by default. The two sweetest words in the English language, Barry. Default. And he'll be like, good enough. I just wanted to give me some of that brown sugar. And then he'll... Wait, if he comes back. Oh, wouldn't it be awesome if, like, when he ran through the black hole, he wound up in the Marvel Universe?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what the hell? Shield. Shield. That's not like a Mad Magazine. I guess he's on a Mad Magazine getting the same idea I just had. Uh-huh. Or he winds up in the Simpsons universe. I don't know. They need it. Because, hey, do you remember the Simpsons did mention the Flash at one time when he had the monorail?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because remember the little kid was asking Lyle Lanley? He was like, is it faster than the Flash? And he was like, yeah. And he was like, is Superman faster than the Flash? He's like, yeah, whatever, kid. All right, so that was it. Because when we watched the Flash, Gotham is over as well, looks like.
The Flash is excellent.
Or let's go Bumblebee Man-ish. Excellente.
Moving along to the comics we review this week, we're going to start off with Hawkeye, number 3.
Which had a really badass cover. All New Hawkeye, number 3, was fantastic. Ramon Perez did the cover for it. Mm-hmm. I really dug it with the swordsman and the reflection of Hawkeye in it. but Clint Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Which is different from anyone who watched Age of Ultron. He's down with Kate. He's with Kate Bishop now, who's also the Hawkeye from Young Avengers. Yeah. So it's just Hawkeye
That's
and Hawkeye.
It's confusing when they're like talking to each other almost, or people are addressing them. Hawkeye, here's Hawkeye.
What we got two
Hawkeye. Yeah.
Which Hawkeye are you? It should be Hawkeye and Hawkette. So this is like, that's what we'll call them to separate them. So Hawkeye and Hawkette decide to kidnap the kids, the mutant goofy kids from issues one.
The communion is what they referred to.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like, well, S.H.I.E.L.D., you captured them. Well, you got them from us, but we didn't know they'd be mutant kids, so we're going to steal the mutant kids back anyway.
Well, it wasn't even really S.H.I.E.L.D., because, what was it, Maria Hill was like, oh, you know, somebody else was really behind this, and she's just following orders.
They're S.H.I.E.L.D. When the hell does she have to follow orders?
That's what she said.
Yeah, and then they just kidnap the kids anyway and, like, let's use the flying car, take them back to Brooklyn.
Katie's like, think about the children. We have to save them. And Clint's like, come on, don't get attached.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we got a dog named Lucky. I love Lucky.
Yeah, I'm like, what's she going to do? Just adopt these kids and raise them? And she can't do that and continue to be Hawkeye.
Yeah, their superhero gig is up. Maybe we'll just get one Hawkeye, Hawkette. But that's all that really happened here. They took the kids back to Brooklyn to Hawkeye's apartment. To the Hawkeye's nest, I guess, is what you would want to call it.
But you also had going along the bottom of the pages.
Clint and his brother, yeah. Barney. Yeah, yeah. Hawkeye and his brother when they were kids with the swordsmen in the carnival.
Yeah.
And they got in trouble for stealing a show because they were watching because they didn't pay. I'm like, what?
Well, they were supposed to be working, yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with slacking every once in a while.
Sure there is. It's terrible.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We're sending it to the youth.
Because you slack once, then you do it again and again.
Then you just start slacking. Your life becomes slacking. But not to be confused with fracking.
Mm-hmm. And you become a no-good hippie.
Oh, that's the worst thing you could tell call a person. Look at this dirty-ass hippie.
I like the artwork a lot. That was real nice.
Yeah, Raymond Perez does a really good job. Mm-hmm. All right,
Raymond or Ramon?
Whatever. It's all ethnic to me. Aww. Wait, Raymond? No. That's Italian. Boo. Perez. Boo. I'm one to talk.
All right, moving along to Chew, number 49, by John Layman, Gilroy.
There were no pictures of cats in the letters section, and I hope they really got...
We were both very disappointed.
Yes, I hope they really got out of their way to eventually fix that, starting with issue 50. So we're halfway there. They said she was supposed to last like 60 issues. So this basically
more
was just...
More than halfway there.
Yeah, so thank you. We're almost issue 50. We're a year away from issue 50 because you know how slow they are with this book. So
the collector is having himself a war, but it's really Olive who started the war, killing off the collector's henchmen and whatnot, trying to find him, trying to track him down. She's trying to track down the collector, working with Savoy, and Tony's trying to track down Olive... Because he wants his little girl back.
But she's not a little girl anymore, but that is cool that Amelia... I did like when Amelia
he's
like,
her father, so he's always going to see her as a little girl.
True. Well, I liked when Amelia was, like, texting them that, like, the food that they're eating at the locations.
And did you get a gist of where they're at instead of just texting an address?
Yeah, Caesar said that. He was like, she could have just texted you the address instead of going through all this hoopla.
It's pretty nasty what happened with Pollo, too. We see that Pollo's got to be cooked so that Tony can eat...
Yes, and Chow was like, cook chicken, get out of here, Colby. And then Colby's like, well, your brother has to eat this. And he's like, oh, wait, why didn't you say that? Let me cook this dead chicken.
It's foul chicken with maggots coming out of it. Nasty.
Well, we all know Chow still hates Tony. Chow Chew. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of these goddamn characters' names. How awesome is Special Agent Breadman? He looks delicious, I'm not going to lie. Yes, I would enjoy, like, sneaking up behind him, taking a bite out of him.
You know, that name, like, reminds me of this anime I watched recently. I forget the name of it, but there's, like, this talking bread in it. And he offered himself up for the humans to eat him. And he ripped his head apart, and, like, blood started, like, gushing out of it. It was, like, the weirdest thing. And he was like, I'm made from carrot juice. And then he died.
That's terrible. Can we talk about the people who were murdered in this issue of
The Green Giant.
The Jolly Green Giant. And also the Crunchberry Contagion killing all those people.
Yeah.
That's so sad. And I actually liked that cereal. I liked it a lot. That was it for Chew, actually.
So, yeah, Tony's able to find Olive, and he realizes him and Colby both at the same time. They're like, Tony has to eat Pollo. And That's about it.
That's it, yeah.
They know where the collector's at. He's over in Russia.
Oh, because they stole the remote. What was it? The remote station that the government was using.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was. Oh, the telescope.
Yeah.
So, that's where he is. I'm not good with this issue, too. It was, like, very minimal shit happening. Yeah. But they crammed a bunch of panels together and it was, like, good enough.
Well, you like the little characters.
Oh, yeah, the cluster. Yeah, that was great. All right, Invincible number 120. Fucking Thrag.
This the cover is kind of funny because it says that, oh, you know, like, not to expect them devoting this issue to just being about, like, raising Terra. Yet they raise Terra in this issue.
Yes, and then they have, like, a whole 2 pages of Mark, like, being like, I just want you to know I'm going to love you because you a baby and you came from me.
Over the top, yeah. Like, gushy.
Look at you fall over. Now I'm picking you back up. It's so great being a father. More, and then, like, he should turn to the reader and be like, more of you out there should take care of your children because we're the only fathers they have. Peace out. And then, like, the NBC, the more you know, star goes flying.
Is it weird because, like, this comic is so much about action and adventure that it's, like, trying to get into this kind of everyday situational type genre?
See, this is the same fucking thing that happened when they married Spider-Man. And then, like, everything that made the character cool was, like, Spider-Man's like, I gotta go off and fight these villains. So, let me let my wife know that I gotta fight these villains. Oh, it's Meatloaf Night. Can't go. Sorry, Electro. Can't come out and play with you and your weird fishnets, you freak.
But, like, I'm glad we saw the conclusion between the fight with Thrag and
Battle Beast. Yeah. Oh my God. I just started
dragging on forever. Yeah.
It finally ended. Now it's been going on so long. I can collect on Social Security. That's how long this shit was going on. I'm 70 and a half years old.
And the winner is Thrag.
Good for him. Good for Thrag.
He makes Battle Beast a coat. He turns it into a fur coat.
Yeah, he puts his skin over him. He's like, "Yep, I'm wearing it." It looks really cool, though.
Yeah.
And then they burn the rest of Battle Beast, which is sad. But then Thrag's having all these Oliver-esque babies with the weird insect women from that planet that he was the ruler of.
He's just like nonstop impregnating these women. It seemed like
he's building an army to take on the Voltramites. You see how powerful Oliver is. Mm-hmm. Even though, Mark in this one's also like a cop with a cape. That's weird.
Yeah.
And is that Oliver?
Yeah.
That's what. Wow. Why is he human color? Because before he was like blue.
Yeah, I know. That's what happened when he grew up. Like his skin color started changing.
But he's like normal color here.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, he started off kind of purplish, and then as he grew up, his skin color changed. They talked about it in the previous issues, I believe.
Maybe because this book's so goddamn late and it's never on time. That's why I didn't realize. I was like, is that Oliver? I guess is this one?
Yeah. So basically, Mark is like he's got to track down Thrag, but they don't really get to it yet. They just talk about how they have to do it.
Yeah, because he's got to wear a Superman-esque cop uniform.
He's got to get, you know, take care of the baby, change the baby's diapers, get spit up on, play with the baby, dance with the baby.
Dance for the baby.
And then get it on with Eve.
Because she's just like, I'm horny, goddammit.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even though it's weird that she's missing a leg. So, hey, whatever. Couldn't she just grow a leg back or something? She did it before.
Yeah, I mean, she made her boobs bigger, couldn't she?
That's right. Did she lose her powers along the way? I don't know. Who gives a fuck? It used to be the best thing going. Now they lost their colorist to Batman, the Batman title.
Yeah.
Now the colors aren't the same. You know that's true. The colors are not on par with what they used to be.
Yeah.
That's what happens when things get successful. People with more money come and snatch them the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like Axel Alonso over at Spider-Man. So that concludes this week's episode. We didn't have much to talk. Well, yeah, we did have a lot to talk about. The Flash, he went running. Right into another dimension.
It's so funny how, like, you know, he just, the line that, Barthon gives him, like, run, Flash, run.
No! What, you want to Photoshop, like, the Flash's head on, like, Forrest Gump's body?
Kind of.
I believe in you, Flash. Oh, yes. Whoa. He did sound kind of pervy.
It would be interesting to see, too, with that, because, like, Barry, even though, like, the Reverse Flash is gone, all the stuff that he left behind is still there. All the other rogues, Gorilla Grodd, all that nonsense that he has to clean up.
Yup, Catman. Oh, wait, no, he's not there. That's a Marvel thing. Anyway, so go to theverbalmosh.com because this episode is over, but you can continue to follow the debate, discussion, and the anger that comes from event books or on our website, theverbalmosh.com, and the links to all our social networking sites as well as our sponsors are on there as well. So go hit that up and check out some of the posts that we've got, and we'll see you back here next week for episode 360. Awesome. I'm sure we'll bring in a progressive.
corrupt. You're making pretzels out of nothing like a sourdough. Don't let the economy drive.